The Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. For when you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat, and tie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the field. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. It's the first Sunday in Advent, so it's the start of a new church year. The altar paraments have changed color. The primary gospel for the year has switched. Matthew is behind us, and we read primarily from Mark this year. And we start with Palm Sunday. It might seem a little out of place, but the entry to Jerusalem has been the reading for this Sunday basically since Advent was a season. It makes a deep symbolic sense if you understand the full story. Jesus' proclamation was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." The Jesus story and the church year both end with a warning to watch, for the king returns. So for the start, we read about the first open proclamation of that kingship. It makes symbolic sense, but it's deeply ironic. Because that first time, nobody got it. They were all looking for the Messiah, for the king. And when he shows up, nobody recognizes him. Now, I think you could say the inverse. Nobody is expecting the Messiah today. Nobody expects the king. And if you believe the Bible, when he shows up this time, everybody will recognize him immediately. It's the rare biblical text where the literal action is a direct revelation of the Messiah. Jesus himself taught in parables. The purpose of the parables, according to Jesus himself, was so that only the disciples would get it. To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The miracles were signs. Many saw them but did not believe. You had to believe first to see the sign. And the throne, the place where this king would be lifted up above all others, would be a cross. So it again makes an ironic sense that the one time Jesus plays it straight, almost nobody cares to look. The first scene is the movement with the disciples and the colt. Jesus tells them how to go find it, and the two of them go off and get it. Jesus tells them to tell the owners the Lord needs it. The supposition is that it was a password set up in advance. But if that was the case, why did the ones watching not go get up and go with them? The Lord, the Messiah, the one who is announcing himself king, is riding into Jerusalem during the feast on this royal beast. David rode into Jerusalem like this, and so did Solomon. I can't help but think of Abraham Lincoln's whistle-stop tour into Washington for his inauguration. Something momentous is moving its way towards Jerusalem. And it's not like Jesus is an unknown. His fame had been growing out in the provinces, but the holders of this colt just yawn. Lord, you say, go ahead. The plain truth has been said, but they can't bother. The second scene is pretty similar. The disciples, those given those secrets, put Jesus on the colt and parade before and after him into Jerusalem. And they shout exactly who this Jesus is. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming reign of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And they do this right to the temple courtyard. This Jesus is the Messiah, the coming one, the one that we've all been waiting for. You've heard of his deeds. This Jesus is the Son of David, come to reestablish that throne. This Jesus is doing this by the power of the Most High. Hosanna. Yawn. In Mark, nobody joins. In Mark, they get to the temple, they look around, and they leave because it was already late. No welcome committee to greet the coming king. no group of priests to lead the procession. Even those in town for the Passover have already left, like getting out of a lopsided football game. Let's try and beat the traffic. The truth is said plainly. This one is the king, and nobody but the disciples bother to hear. Advent is one of the two seasons of preparation. What was meant by preparation was repentance. But more importantly, what was meant by preparation was a personal preparation to receive God. And that personal preparation has historically meant prayer and fasting and personal charity. As it was on that day, it has been ever since. The vast majority can hear the proclamation of the kingdom of the king and yawn. Sunday's a great day to sleep in, of course. This close to Christmas, the stores are open, and maybe we need to get our Cyber Monday purchases in our virtual baskets to click buy when the prices go down tomorrow. The church can speak plainly. This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant for you. And we can yawn. Christ comes to us and abides with us in word and sacrament, and we often can't be bothered to hear. The church can speak spiritually. Watch. Go get oil now. For you know not the day nor the hour. And we live our lives as if we could add as many days as we want. Who needs prayer today? Or the church can speak mystically. Right now, Christ stands at the door of your heart. The King is knocking, desiring to enter in and commune with you. The moral lesson from the text is that it was only those close to Jesus who spent time with him and walked the long path from Galilee to Jerusalem with him who were there to sing the Hosanna and see the King. Advent is a season to prepare. It's the clear call that this Jesus is the King. And this King has issued a full pardon. He's forgiven your 10,000 talents. He comes humbly, in peace, desiring to stay with you. Advent is the season to be sure when the saints go marching in, we get to sing the Hosanna. Today, Jesus comes humbly with mercy. That's probably why we pay no attention. What king comes humbly? Heck, I bet even the Belgian prime minister has a caravan of Cadillac black SUVs to announce his presence. But that's part of the divine irony, because the king does return. And this time, with all the hosts of heaven. Right now, though, God knows us better than we know ourselves. We don't need that God who shows up in glory. We need the Christ who rides that colt. We need the Christ who knocks at the door of our heart. We need the Christ who gives us himself, because we need his grace. And that grace is for all peoples. The proclamation is for each and every one of you. Prepare, for the kingdom of God is here. And the God of all comfort will sustain you on that great day. He will give you the grace to stand. Because on that great day, the time of mercy is over. You are either marching with the saints in the victory parade, or weeping over the fall of Babylon and wondering how you missed it. How you missed what was said plainly. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming revelation of the reign of the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.